You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, fabulous, fantastic, fearless, flightless, fact fanatics. This is Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. Today's show is episode 185, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and it's time for your weekly non-bleak peek at the oblique squeaks of unique chic geeks.
Eek!
I'm Colin.
And I'm Chris.
No Dana again. Still sick.
I think she's ditching us. I think she's recording with another pub quiz podcast. Yeah. Oh.
Well done, mind. That's her new show.
Our rivals.
Well, yeah. Well done, mind. Yeah.
We have a book. We wrote a book. It's currently being edited, or whatever it is they do to books at book publishers.
Someone is putting our like individual letters
book
in the
elves, yeah, is my understanding of the process.
Sliding the movable type into the Gutenberg press to start stamping out the pages.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that's how it works.
Well, they have to copy it one book at a time.
Yep. So maybe once yours rolls off the printer, you too can own it. Yeah, no, we took all the fun stuff that we've done on the show, and we've written it down into words, and we've done new stuff. I told you, Tyler Hinman,
past guest,
an infrequent guest. We don't really have a lot of guests, but when we do, we make sure that they're
the
five-time crossword puzzle champion of America. He and I collaborated on a cryptic crossword, which will be featured in the book. That's all new piece of content. We had Good Job Brain listener and crossword maker Neville Fogarty test solve it. So you know that it's,
and he too
that it's solvable.
Contributed a crossword.
And Neville contributed
too.
A regular crossword.
When can you get the book, Chris?
Karen, you can purchase. You can go. Well, first of all, if you want to pre-order, you can go right now onto Amazon.com. Search for Good Job Brain. And when will it be available? September 13th. 2016.
Oh my god, actually, it's wow, that's
customers
really soon.
Coming up really fast.
Karen, customers who viewed this
page.
Oh,
I love this.
Also viewed Power Up, How Japanese Video Games Gave the World an Extra Life.
Who wrote that?
By one Chris Kohler, which too will be, it's an old book I wrote that will be back in print later on this year. And they also viewed the page for Alton Brown, Everyday Cook.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's probably you, Karen, looking
at it. That probably is. Yeah. And now we see a lot. And they also viewed the page for the Hamilton book.
Oh, Hamilton, I bought
Revolution.
That. And
okay,
the,
so basically,
the Trojan condom
and the Trojan
dash
condom
button.
Dash button. All right.
All right.
Got some readers out there.
Wow.
Yep. Who are never gonna have more babies.
Someone explain to me what the dash button is.
It just submits an order to
Amazon
for whatever the thing that you have it tied
to. So
it's
one button to one product.
Correct.
Yeah.
Have you guys used it?
No. I signed up for the early beta and I didn't get accepted, so I haven't done it
me
yet.
Too,
but
so now I'm really bitter.
How big is it? It's like one giant button. Like
no, it's about the size of like it's like a USB stick.
Yeah.
It
has a button tiny on
it.
Thing.
It has the logo of the product.
Oh man, what if you accidentally press a bunch of times?
No, it's smart enough. No, it's smart enough to know it'll only do one order at a time.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that said,
they back up the Trojan truck to your house and dump them all on your front porch. Hey Max, somebody's got to sign for this load of XXXS condoms. Why did I press the button so many times?
So back to the book.
Good job, Rain. On Dead Trees. You should totally get it. It's coming out so soon.
Also
We're
on
really
electronic
excited.
Trees, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. On the electronic trees.
There will be an ebook version, all joking aside.
Yeah,
yes,
that's right. Yeah. We're super excited. We hope you are too.
It's my first time writing a book. Your first time writing a book, Colin.
Yeah.
Not Chris's, so forget him.
But for three of us, it's our...
it's not like I'm so jaded that it's not exciting.
You actually published a couple of times, right?
Yeah.
You have Power Up, and then you have...
Power Up, as mentioned.
And then you had another... Like,
retro gaming hacks
for
O'Reilly. Yeah. Now just completely out of date, because none of the things...
it work
doesn't
anymore?
Make any sense anymore.
Really?
Yeah, right, yeah. It's like how to get a Coleco game running on Windows 95. Forget it.
And without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. And we got a surprise. You guys are sick of my dumb cards, my dumb random trivia cards.
What is our surprise?
Our surprise is Chris has pulled out the Jeopardy book.
Yes, and it's not the 1960s Jeopardy that we are known to sometimes use. It is, in fact, 2003 Jeopardy.
More gettable.
So a little bit closer. More gettable, a little bit closer to our age, and...
And only remember, some of you were not born.
Everything in the form of a question. Yeah. I have picked out a couple of categories for you, single Jeopardy and double Jeopardy, and keep track of how much money you make, and then we'll do final Jeopardy at the end, and you can bet.
Maybe we'll do actual Jeopardy, because usually we just buzz in.
Oh, okay.
What if we play,
like, actually with money on the line?
Yeah.
So you'll start at zero, exactly, and it's on the honor system. I'll just, make sure that you, keep accurate track of how much money you win. All right, here we go. The category is... Criminal's Dictionary.
Oh, man.
For $200.
Oh.
It's not a novel builder. It's a person accepting bets.
Oh.
Karen.
What is a bookie?
Yes. What is a bookie? $200.
They weren't looking for bookmaker. I just want to...
it's acceptable.
Okay.
It says here... What is a bookie? And then acceptable is bookmaker.
Bookmaker is the full name?
Yeah. Well, that they also not a novel builder.
Right.
Like,
bookmaker.
Yeah.
But and then oddly.
That's weird that the also acceptable is the one that they were hinting at.
Yeah. That is true though. $400. A person confessing info to police is known as one of these yellow songbirds. Colin.
The stool pigeon. Or,
no.
Oh, yellow. Oh, okay.
Karen.
Well, money's on the line.
LEDs are ticking down. Karen.
Fine. What is canary?
Yes. Yeah. What is a canary?
Sing like a canary.
Yep. So Karen has $600. Colin is negative 400. 600. It's a two-word slang term for the photograph taken of a suspect in custody. Karen.
What is mugshot?
What is mugshot, indeed?
Well, when there's real fake money on the line, I'm really
it's,
good
it's
at
It's really
this.
Tense. You guys are, your faces are just twisted. $800. This term for a gangster's girlfriend sounds like where she might go shopping. Colin.
What is a mall?
What is a mall? Yes. M-O-L-L. Finally, for $1,000... From Latin for elsewhere, it's the claim to have been somewhere else when a crime was committed. So hard to say. So hard to say.
This is why we need those ones that cancels
lock,
the other.
Right. Lockout buzzers.
Yeah, we're pretty much going in simultaneously.
Yeah.
We better just give it to me.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure, that makes sense.
You got mugshot, we both buzzed at the same time.
Yeah, it's true. Colin.
That cost less.
I forgot. What is alibi?
Yes, what is alibi? Yes. 1,000 to Colin. That's right. We still have another round to go. Double Jeopardy, where the point values are doubled.
Yes, thank you.
Category is just desserts. For $400, this treat takes its name from the Dutch word koekje and often includes chocolate chips. Colin.
What is a cookie?
What is a cookie? $400. 400 fake monies to you,
sir. Can you say that again?
Kokje. Kokje. Kokje.
How's that spelled?
Kokje. K-O-E-K-J-E.
Oh, okay.
Kokje.
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 That's probably a Y sound.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll assume.
For $800, sharing its name with a French novel, this candy bar was originally three separate candy bars. Karen.
What is Three Musketeers?
What is Three Musketeers?
That came up on Good Job, Ren Live.
Yeah, that's
$800, 800 fake bucks to you. All right,
that's
here we go.
It was three different flavors. It was Neapolitan. It was like a strawberry, chocolate,
and
then
vanilla.
And
that's
they,
right.
Yeah, and then they decided to save some money and just make the chocolate.
Just go with the one
everybody
wanted.
The popular one.
Yeah.
But it makes more sense with the name of the...
Now the name makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. $1,200 question.
Ooh.
A glowing red hot donuts now sign announces the fresh donuts from this chain. Colin.
What is Krispy Kreme?
What is Krispy Kreme? Absolutely.
I did not know that
big
one.
$1,200. Yep. When you see that hot donuts now sign, time to go get yourself some hot donuts. $1,600. These reptiles aren't an ingredient in the chocolate and caramel candies named for them. Colin.
What are turtles?
What are turtles? Oh. Not used in the making of turtles.
You know what? At first I was like, oh, Fig Newton. And then you said chocolate. And I was like, what?
No. Oh, Fig Newt.
Newt.
And, oh.
Yeah.
I like it. But for the $2,000 question of Double Jeopardy, Just Desserts, after baking, syrup is poured over this multi-layered, paper-thin Turkish and Greek pastry. Whoa, Karen.
What is baklava?
What is baklava? Indeed. Also acceptable, phyllo dough or phyllo pastry.
Phyllo.
Phyllo dough. Okay. Yes.
Hmm.
Final Jeopardy.
Are we wagering?
You are wagering. The category is the human body. Please write down your wagers. The category is the human body.
And you have how much, Karen?
4,000.
Doing some math. All right. Our wagers are locked in?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. The final Jeopardy question. There are 4 incisors, 4 premolars, 6 molars, and 2 of these teeth in each jaw. There are 4 incisors, 4 premolars, 6 molars, and 2 of these teeth in each jaw.
Oh, yeah, we get some time. That's right. Can you say it again? Oh.
Boom.
Read it again.
Did you write something down?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I'll read it again. Because
Okay.
All right. There are 4 incisors, 4 premolars, 6 molars, and 2 of these teeth in each jaw. Karen, you were trailing going into Final Jeopardy. Your answer is?
What are bicuspids?
What are bicuspids? Did she get it right? No, she did not.
Oh, no. I hate this game. I don't want to play.
What was your wager?
All of my money.
All of her money bring you down to 0. Let's see how Colin did. Colin, your answer. Let's reveal his answer. What are bicuspids with some other junk?
I realized what I think is the correct answer, but too late.
Oh, yeah? Bicuspids. And Colin, how much did you wager?
I wagered 3401.
Oh. The 3401, meaning that you finished the round with some money. zero. Correct answer is canines.
Oh.
I was thinking, yeah, this is only canines. 2, like fangs.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep, like fangs.
And then I was bummed because I thought for sure canine Karen's going to get.
Well, Karen, you came in with 0 fake dollars. You're leaving with 0 fake dollars. It's all pretty much wash.
All right. Good job, brains. That was actually, when we play like for real, it's a lot more
intense.
Yeah,
we're Dana back in here. We're going to be like, Dana, we forgot a new way to play Jeopardy. Jeopardy for
the
real.
The real way.
Yeah.
And today's episode is number 185, which means if you're a long time Good Job Brain listeners, you know that every 5th episode we have our all quiz bonanza, which means we don't have a theme, we don't have a topic, we brought our own quizzes and games and puzzles to stump each other and stump you guys listeners. So this week it is all quiz bonanza number 37. Bonanza 37. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Yeah, you just won, so you go first.
Yes, that's my prize. My prize. Mm. I have a quiz for you guys called the MOTAQ. That's MOTAAQ. And that stands for
the
mostly obsolete technology acronym and abbreviation quiz.
Oh, nice.
I have a quiz for you. I will give you guys an abbreviation or acronym. Mm. Most of these are mostly obsolete, older technologies, by which I mean, you know, 80s and 90s
you know,
such.
I was thinking about this recently on my walk to work. I work at a place called Twitch.tv, Twitch TV. And I was like, oh, well, you know, we know .tv, like, as a domain, internet domain is Tuvalu. Tuvalu, right? That's their country name. But I was like, television, what? Vision, I know, but what's tele? Just
distance.
Like
telegraph.
So I was like, oh, I wonder if naming like a website, you know, .tv or anything in this day and age is obsolete. But it's not. If tele means distance and vision is something you look at.
Yeah, I suppose. You kind of stretch
it. Obsolete, yeah.
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 Yeah, it is kind of funny, I mean, to think of so many people who don't even have a proper TV but still watch, you know, Netflix or whatever show, Hulu shows.
Right.
Is that still a TV show?
Yeah, it's still.
No, there was somebody was saying, you know, the other day my daughter asked me, Daddy, why do we say hang up the phone?
Yeah.
You wouldn't know, would you?
The actual literal like movement of
hanging something on the wall, which is what we used to do.
I wasn't even thinking about it. I thought it just meant put the receiver down.
No, you'd hang it on the wall.
Oh, well, okay.
Hang it up on the wall. Yeah, right? How about that?
That was already one step for me.
Yeah, not even Karen step. Knows. Yeah.
Roll up the window. What child today has ever seen a manually operated roll up the window? It's just a button you press. Yep. Yeah. Yep. It's
like some
metonymy
kind of
is the phenomenon here.
Right.
That's where the meaning drops away.
Yes.
All right.
What is it? Say it again.
Metonymy.
Metonymy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for this quiz, I will give you guys a acronym or abbreviation. You tell me what it stands for. So, for example.
Oh, that's why it's an abbreviation.
That's why it's an acronym or abbreviation. Right. Acronyms just to be, you know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, acronyms are, you read them like a name, like NASA is an acronym, whereas FBI is not.
Because, yeah, you say FBI.
Right. FBI. Right.
But MOTOC.
MOTOC would be an acronym. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for remembering that, by the way.
Yeah.
So we'll do this lightning round style, because I think some of these you guys will know, and some of them you may have to think for 3 seconds on. So get your buzzers ready. And so, for example, if I were to say CD, yeah, Chris would answer...
Compact disc.
You've got it. All right. Here we go.
Oh, like the thing itself is obsolete, or the meaning is obsolete?
Well, the
technology
meaning
is sort of going obsolete, okay, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Could be both.
It could be. And we still use many of these things. We talk about an old-style TV, not a nice flat screen. An old-style TV would be a CRT. I believe that was Chris. What is CRT?
Cathode ray tube.
Cathode ray tube. Correct.
I'm going to change it to my right hand, which is my primary
hand. Your faster hand? Yeah. just got real.
Things just got real. On your CRT, you might watch a VHS tape. What's VHS?
Oh, you can't, but go ahead.
Chris.
Video
he
head
does
system.
It. He does it, and then he thinks about it.
No, I thought you were going to say VCR, but then VHS.
VHS.
Video high definition scenario.
No. Karen, you want to take a stab in there? What is VHS?
Ouch.
Video home.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Don't overthink it. You're 2/3 of the way there.
Video home. I don't know.
System.
System is video home system.
VHS, video home system. Growing up in school, you guys probably like me, would have to go to the school library and study things on a CD-ROM. Mm-hmm. CD-ROM, the very 90s way of learning interactive things. What does CD-ROM stand for? Chris?
Compact disc read-only media.
Oh.
Is it read-only memory?
It is. I'll give you the second bite at that. Okay, it is read-only memory. Sorry. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Compact. You can't change it. You can only...
Right, okay. You can't write to it.
That makes
sense. ROM, read-only memory. On your old-school CRT TV, you might have a couple knobs there. The one is to change the channel, and another is the UHF-VHF knob. What do UHF and VHF stand for? Karen.
UHF is ultra high frequency.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then VHF?
Mm-hmm.
Video high frequency.
No.
very high
frequency. It is very, very high frequency. And then they're like, oh, wait, what's even more than very?
It's
ultra high frequency. Yep. Right, right. They're lucky they didn't need a third one. Right, yeah. Right, yeah, yeah. Right. Before the days of super high-speed internet, we had a moderately high-speed internet with a DSL connection.
Oh,
DSL.
It's a digital signal line.
So close.
Really? Digital
service? No.
You got the, it's digital something line.
Digital serial.
Serial.
Line.
Nope, it is subscriber.
Oh.
Digital subscriber line. Right. And the idea being that you at home are the digital subscriber.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But you wouldn't need your DSL line if you were having an old fashioned LAN party, firing up some head to head computer action. LAN. What is the LAN and LAN party? Karen.
Local area network.
Local area network. Yes. Contrasted with a WAN or a wide area network. Right. Related to UHF and VHF, again, sort of old school naming. On your radio, you've got AM and FM. What is AM and FM? What does AM and FM stand for? Karen.
Oh, I'm mixing up with DC and
it's
AC.
Not, Meridian.
No. Alternating and direct.
I'll give you guys, the M is the same.
It's modulation.
Yep, yep.
Frequency modulation.
Yep.
And
amplitude.
You got it.
Yeah. Oh,
you got it. That's right. Those are the two ways, basically, of modulating the signal over the air. You can change the amplitude, AM, or you can change the frequency. And you can get a lot more information in the frequency modulation,
right, which is why AM radio sounds so bad.
Right. Yeah. And isn't stereo, you know, among other things. Right.
Right. That's why it's reserved for people yelling at each other and not music.
All right. Last one. A little bit of a tricky one. Although the average person on the street, if you grabbed them and shook them and said, hey, what does DVD stand for? They would tell you that the V stands for video,
but it doesn't.
It does not, actually.
Oh.
Technically, strictly speaking, according to the original DVD consortium, what does DVD stand for? Chris.
Digital versatile disc.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Because you can put music, you can put video, indeed, you can put image and files.
That's right.
Okay, the way you frame it that way, that makes more sense.
It does make more sense. Yeah, it's not just video, even though probably 99% of us, the only time that we ever interacted with them was for just watching a movie.
Yep.
Yeah, because both your dads burn all the Good Job Brain local files into it, like a DVD disc or something,
right?
And then listen to that.
I help my dad do it, but yeah. All right, and then as a bonus here, I'll give you guys some non-obsolete technology ones. When you're typing in your little web address bar there on your web browser, it'll start off, whether you type it or not, it'll autocomplete with the HTTP.
Yes.
What does HTTP stand for? I think you both had it, but Chris, please.
Oh, you want to do it at the same time? Hypertext Transfer Protocol. HTTP.
Yeah, there you go. So I brought us at least into the 90s with that.
Yep,
and we'll leave it there. That's
and
a good stopping
S.
point.
What,
oh, yeah.
S stands for security, right?
For secure. Sexy.
Yeah.
Sexy.
The HTTPS are sexy.
Hypertext Transfer Protocol.
Yeah.
Sexy
version. Yeah.
Sensual.
Dang, I like sensual. I love sensual.
Sensual.
All right, I have a quick quiz here. Two episodes ago, we had very interesting two quizzes that kind of merged together. It was our prize episode. And Chris, you had a whole quiz about Razzie Award winners.
I did.
Raspberry Award awarded to the worst actors and actresses that year, worst film, worst screenplay. It's not like they directly mirror the Oscars. They also have like worst on-screen couple, like niche categories. And then Dana had a quiz about EGOT winners, and these are, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, the esteemed bunch who has won or almost are on their way winning Emmy for TV, Tony for theater, Oscar for films, and then Grammy for music. Not a lot of people. I think there's only, Dana said, like 12 people who have done it.
Small club.
And then we joked about, well, when is someone getting a REGOT?
Yeah.
Or a TOGER.
Yeah.
Which is Raspberry and EGOT.
Yeah.
Only one person And I tweeted this out.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah.
Oh,
has actually done
has
it.
Has won a regot.
Whoa! Oh my God.
Can you guess who it is?
Oh, jeez.
She is okay. A regot winner.
I'm gonna
There's
guess.
There's only been one.
I'm gonna guess. Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, is it Whoopi Goldberg?
It is the one and only Liza Minnelli.
Oh.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh.
Which makes sense. She sings, acts,
yeah.
dances. So theater yeah. makes yeah. sense. Grammy makes sense. Oscars for Cabaret.
Cabaret, right. Mm-hmm. She probably could have been a double, yeah, for that.
And then a Razzie for, I believe it was Arthur 2.
Oh.
Or Rent oh. and Rent-A-Cop.
Jeez. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
You're so, right. She's two. She's totally well-suited to that. Yeah. yeah.
So she is the only one regot winner.
That is a fantastic bit of trivia.
But I have a quiz. I mean, we talked about, Chris and your quiz of Razzie winners. Like, a couple of these actually have won Oscars.
Oh, sure.
So here are some. Here's a quiz about Razzcars. Razzcars.
I like that.
Razzcars winner. All Razzie right. and Oscar.
For the same performance?
No, or, no, oh, okay, no. Just right. Lifetime. Lifetime. They're, gotcha. They're only a bunch. They're not.
Well, we
a
named
lot.
A couple of them on the last.
We named a couple.
Yeah.
But here's the trick. I mean, even though we named a couple on the. I'm going to give you the actor or actress. And you tell me what is the movie they won their Academy Award in? And what is the movie they won their Razzie in?
Okay.
And so, for example, on the quiz, we talked about Sandra Bullock. Mm-hmm. And Sandra Bullock, Chrissy mentioned, she won a Razzie for All About Steve.
Yes.
And gave out DVDs of All About Steve to the judges at the Razzies. And then the next night, she won an Oscar for The Blind Side. So this happened in a day. We also mentioned Halle Berry, too.
Right,
she won
right.
the Razzie for Catwoman.
Yep.
And Academy Award for Monsters Ball,
Monsters
I believe.
Monsters Ball. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Here we go. Please get your pads of paper out. Let's write down the answer.
All right.
And, I can kind of piece together which one do you mean Academy Award and which one do you mean.
I should hope so.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I mean,
Okay. Okay.
So here we go. Let's start out with easy. Ben Affleck.
Is it the same
main
category?
No, it's not the same category.
Okay, it could be a different category.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, okay, got it.
But it's only best actor, best supporting
no.
actor.
The main awards.
The main awards.
Oh.
I see what you're getting at.
Like, so Martin Scorsese could,
I gotcha.
He's not an actor.
Okay, well then, speaking of... Okay, so... okay, well, why not?
All right, answers up. Colin, you said Ben Affleck won a Academy Award for Argo and then also won for Geely. Chris, you said...
I said Daredevil and Good Will Hunting. And I'm leaving it to you to figure out which one is which.
So, Ben Affleck has won the Oscar for Best Motion Picture of the Year for Argo and Best Screenplay, Original Screenplay, for Good Will Hunting. He actually got nominated a lot for Razzies.
Mm-hmm. But what did he win
But he
for?
Won for Geely.
Oh, okay.
He got nominated for Daredevil. Nominated. Oh, man.
This is Mr. Affleck's fourth Razzie nomination.
Yeah. He also got nominated so many times for Worst Actor of the Decade. Daredevil, Geely, Jersey Girl, Paycheck, Pearl Harbor, Surviving Christmas. Armageddon, yeah, man.
Wow.
A lot.
And he's not emoting all the way to the bank.
Yeah. He got nominated for a couple of acting Oscars, but the Oscars he won is for screenplay and best film.
Well, I knew the screenplay, but I didn't know if you counted that as one of the main ones. So I figured I'll go safe with the Argo. Yeah. And let's not short Matt Damon, too, right? Wasn't that a joint award? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so was Argo, was also shared with.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like
it wasn't for best director?
No, it's for producer.
Best oh, film. For best so film. That's right. That's right. He didn't get director that. Ah, oh, right.
Next name. Al Pacino. Hoo-ah. Al Pacino. For what movie did he win an Oscar? He's nominated a lot of times. A lot of times. He's also nominated for a couple of Razzies, too. But one. Answers up. Colin, you say.
Scent of a Woman. For the Oscar winner. And The Devil's Advocate, that terrible one with Keanu Reeves, maybe?
Oh, where he plays the devil?
Yes, yeah.
And he's a lawyer?
Yeah.
All right, Chris, what'd you say?
I said Scent of a Woman for Oscar. Maybe I should have gone Scent of a Woman for Razzie too, because maybe they would have poked fun at him. But then I said Godfather Part Two.
He was so good in Scent of a Woman. Yeah. No one could watch that movie and be like, this guy gets a Razzie. No way. So he did win Scent of a Woman.
Yeah.
Correct. It's his only Oscar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the movie he won Razzies for was Worst Supporting Actor for Jack and Jill. The Adam Sandler.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. That was just recent, right? That was like in the last 5 years.
Yeah, it was
something?
Like 2011.
Wow.
Starring Adam Sandler playing a dude and a woman, the sister
and
Jill.
And he played himself in the movie, right?
Yeah, and was in love with Jill.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really weird. Yeah. It's pretty weird. Next name, Kevin Costner.
Okay.
Kevin Costner. What movie did he win an Academy Award for? And what movie did he win a Razzie for? All right, answers up.
Dances with Wolves and The Postman.
I said the same thing.
You guys are correct.
Oh, yeah?
He won. These are both producer credits because he won Best Picture, Best Film for Dances with Wolves and Best Director. Kevin Costner won Worst Picture at the Razzies for The Postman, Worst Actor and Worst Director.
Oh.
So took home three.
the Razzie sweep.
Yeah, the Razzie three-bagger.
The Trazzie. I don't know.
The raspberry turkey.
Yeah.
All right. We're down to the harder ones. Mr. Marlon Brando.
Okay.
Marlon Brando. Answers up, please. Colin, what'd you say?
I've got The Godfather. And then there was a movie. He was like with Matthew Broderick as like the undergrad or something.
But you're thinking of The Freshman with the Komodo Dragon.
The Freshman, yes.
He plays like a mob.
That's what I was thinking of.
Chris, you say.
I said that he got the Academy Award for The Godfather and then received a posthumous Razzie for The Godfather Part 3, which was so bad
they gave
Marlon Brando a Razzie as punishment.
He did win for The Godfather. Also won Best Actor for On the Waterfront.
On the Waterfront.
Yep, those are his two wins. And for the Razzie, it was Supporting Actor for The Secret Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh.
Which was terrible.
I saw that and it was terrible.
It had like animal people hybrids.
Yeah.
There was a cat lady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny, man. Like these Razzies are bringing back just memories of terrible movies.
Right,
I never saw
once. Completely forgot about you.
And I'm going to close this quiz with one last bit. It's not a question. It's just an interesting bit. Mr. Laurence Olivier, way before my time, but I know he's a big deal because they named the theater awards in England. Their version of the Tonys is the Laurence Olivier Award. He was nominated for 10 Oscars between 1939 and 1978, and he got the Lifetime Achievement Award Oscar in 1979. Just 2 years later, he got his Razzie for playing General MacArthur in a panned film called Inchon, beating out Arnold Schwarzenegger in Conan the Barbarian. When asked why he agreed to be in a bad movie in the first place, Olivier gave this now legendary response. Money, my dear boy. I'm like a vintage wine. You have to drink me quickly before I turn sour. That's the spirit. Good job, guys.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Let's stick with movies.
Oh, yeah,
great minds think alike. I've got a movie quiz. Now, I believe on a previous episode of Good Job Brain, long time
ago. Dun, dun, dun.
Previously.
You might remember that we talked about some updated Shakespeare stories, some films that you may or may not have known were based on the works of Shakespeare. For example, I can't think of any right now. For example, Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet.
West Side Story
is a retelling of Romeo and Juliet. But there is a wide world of literature out there besides Shakespeare that can be turned into 90s teen movies. And so here is this is a quiz, old book, new movie. I will give you the title of a film, and you will tell me the work of classic literature on which that film was based. There might be some Shakespeare in there, but maybe not ones that we've talked about before. Maybe ones that we have talked about before. I'm just keeping you on your toes.
All right.
There might be some Jane Austen in there. Very popular to turn Jane Austen books into
for films. A while. In the 2000s, it was.
And there might be some stuff that's way older than Shakespeare and Jane Austen. And I'm going to have you guys write these down.
But I think Karen's going to have an advantage at the outset because you're going to have seen more of these movies.
Yeah. Let's see how
let's find out how this goes.
Yeah. Let's see.
Is it all 90s or it's kind of that era?
It was, you know, for some reason, 90s teen movies, they got this bug of like basing 90s teen movies off of Shakespeare and classic literature. But it's more than that. It is more than that.
All right.
But the theme of sort of like revamping the classic literature it's more recent.
I mean, like Romeo and Juliet, there have been so many.
Here we go.
All right.
A popular film. Bridget Jones' Diary.
What?
Bridget Jones's Diary is based-ish loosely on what popular novel? I will tell you this. There is a hint built into this question for you. There's at least one character in Bridget Jones's Diary that shares a name with his analog in the work of classic literature upon which it is based. Karen seems confident-ish. Colin has a thing written down.
Both
of them have written down Pride and Prejudice. Colin has written down Pride and Prejudice. And both of you are correct.
Yeah.
Based on Pride and Prejudice. Yes, Colin Firth played Mark Darcy.
And he played
Bridget Jones. He also played Mr. Darcy in a film adaptation of Pride and Prejudice. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Coen Brothers film, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
The story name, right?
Yes. There is one very obvious answer to this whole thing. Yes, both of you say The Odyssey. Both of you are correct. The Odyssey.
I love that. I really love that.
Quite an interesting interpretation. Clueless, the quintessential 90s based on classic literature film. Film Clueless was based on what novel? What classic novel?
What was this based on?
That's my generation, so I know.
I know you know it, and I should know it.
There is a character named, it's a character named Elton, which is based on Mr. Elton from the book.
That.
Lots of things that mirror the structure of the original book. Karen has got something written down. Colin is in La La Land right now. Gonna have to have you write down something, whether an embarrassed row of question marks or a doodle. Some geometric shape.
I'll write Pride and Prejudice again.
Pride and Prejudice again.
You never know. I think it's Austen.
And Karen writes down Emma. Karen is correct. It is Jane Austen's novel Emma.
Okay.
Formed.
Just about matchmaking.
I don't think I would have retrieved the name of the novel.
That's wild.
I'm happy that I just got Austen.
Karen. How about this one? Apocalypse Now.
Whoa.
Apocalypse Now, also based on a classic novel.
With the war
now
movie?
Now it is Colin. That's the one. Now it is Colin who is definitively written down his answer, and it is Karen who is making hesitant chicken scratches.
I like your comment.
So nervous. It's beads of sweat.
I don't know.
Karen says Dante's Inferno.
That's a good guess.
Colin says Heart of Darkness. Indeed it is. Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness. Formed, which of course was a novel about war.
Yes,
but it was
right.
Simply updated.
And I believe there was a Kurtz character as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What, okay. What is the setting of that? Is it not Vietnam War?
No, it's
a long time ago.
I forget what it is. It's a while ago. Century or two ago, yeah. 10 Things I Hate About You. 10 Things I Hate About You. Starring what's-her-name, Alex Mack, and
Larissa Olenek.
Larissa Olenek. And Julia Stiles, the late Heath Ledger, and
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And
wow.
Gabriel Union.
Man.
And Gabriel Union.
All-star yeah. cast.
All-star cast.
Never saw it.
It's actually a really good one.
Teen film based on what? It is based on a Shakespeare play.
Oh.
Colin has written As You Like It. Karen has written Taming of the Shrew.
Oh, I feel like
it's
she's
Taming
right.
of the
yeah.
Shrew.
Yeah.
It is indeed Taming
and, you know, that,
of the
that
Shrew.
That is really analogous. They the names are very similar.
Mm. Yes. Very tongue-in-cheek, very on the nose.
Here. I should watch it.
Just One of the Guys. Just One of the Guys.
Oh my God! I know this movie.
HBO.
Her name was Terry.
Her name was Terry.
And I remember
it's
newspaper. She was like a journalism student.
Yes, yes, yes.
And they wouldn't take
HBO
her seriously.
Just One of the Guys, based on a classic work of literature. But which classic work of literature? Colin says Yentl.
What? Oh, I see.
You see what I'm getting at.
Karen says, 12th Night. It is 12th Night. The Shakespearean play. Also the basis of the film with Amanda Bynes.
She's the man. They're both very on the nose.
But indeed.
Yeah. Haven't seen that one either. Guys,
12th Night.
What a Channing Tatum's debut.
Wow.
One of his debuts? Sorry.
Yeah. He's so good. Yeah. He's so good he had two debuts. Yeah. Ooh,
so we know where She's the Man came from. What about She's All That? I think it's Rachel Lee Cook and Freddie Prinze Jr.
Man,
also,
I'm just
Usher.
She's All That.
Usher, right, Lil Kim is also in that movie. Paul Walker, the late Paul Walker.
Yeah.
And Matthew Lillard.
Karen says Pygmalion. Colin, out of his butt, says Pygmalion. It is Pygmalion.
Yeah.
It is Pygmalion, which, of course, the George Bernard Shaw play that was later adapted into
My Fair Lady.
Wow.
Your good old makeover.
Wow. She's All That.
Karen 6, Colin 4. It's anybody's game. A few more questions left to go. How about Roxanne? The motion picture Roxanne is based on a work of literature. But what is the name of the work of literature upon which Roxanne, that is indeed starring Steve Martin with a large prosthetic nose, is based? Karen has written down something and is regarding it.
Oh, I didn't. Uh-huh. I can't. I don't know how to spell it. That's why.
Karen says, I'll go to Colin. Colin says Cyrano de Bergerac. Karen has written down something that looks enough like Cyrano de Bergerac.
I think actually, if I may, yeah. Karen has written down Syriac de Bergerac, which I want to give her.
Did you spell it?
Cyrano de Bergerac.
Cyrano de Bergerac, not Syriac de Bergerac.
But I like that. That's fun to say.
Yes.
Cyrano
de Bergerac. De Bergerac.
Yes. Well, de Bergerac. That's it. Yes, and you'll both get the point for that, indeed. Yes. The story of a man with a conspicuously wide nose, a large nose, but not a crazy Pinocchio nose as Steve Martin had in the film. G.
What?
G, as in the letter G. I'll tell you the, there's a movie, O. It's called O. That was based on Othello. This is the movie G. And it is a 2002 film based on a work of classic literature. The title of the film is G.
Starring who?
Some people. It's tough. Maybe you'll get it. Maybe you'll pull it out.
Man.
Karen, racking the brain.
I just went with the first classic literature that started with a G I could think
rubbing
of.
Rubbing those neurons together as fast as you can. In hopes of igniting some sort of brain spark that will turn into a brain bonfire. Karen says Hamlet. Colin says Gargantua. And both of you are wrong. It is based on F. Scott Fitzgerald's
Gatsby.
Great Gatsby.
Who is it like? Who is in this movie?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Easy A. Easy A. Starring Emma Stone as a high school student. Easy A.
Oh, whoops.
Yes, be sure to write down the correct answer. Colin is.
I just got it.
Whoops. Karen says the Scarlet Letter. Colin says the Scarlet Letter is indeed an update of the Scarlet Letter. Yes.
Man,
yes,
there
yes,
are a yes. lot of teen movies there based are. On, you know, very serious and grave and
real
you know,
serious,
somber.
Serious business. We've got a few more. Cruel Intentions. Cruel Intentions.
Which one was that? Was that the one with Sarah
I think
Michelle
Lacey
Gellar?
Chabert was it? Oh, wait, we have
no,
Sarah
Lacey
Michelle.
Chabert
no,
was not in it.
No, but Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
They look very similar.
Hey, all right, Cruel Intentions.
To me. I don't know. No, because, you see, I don't know what they look like.
We're in the rabbit hole now.
Cruel Intentions is based on, Karen says, Dangerous Liaisons, and Colin says, Les Liaisons Dangereux, and I will give it to you both. It is indeed either one of those two things. Yes. Tough match. Karen has 9 big points. Colin has 7. We have three left. We have 3 left, but you know what?
God, I can't believe you found so many.
Anyone's game. Hollow Man. Hollow Man. It's a horror film by Paul Verhoeven. Karen's looking it up online.
No, 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 no.
Like, that's acceptable. Yes, Paul Verhoeven, director of such films as RoboCop and Showgirls.
Yeah, this sounds familiar. Hollow Man.
Hollow Man.
I know what it is.
Hollow Man.
Classic literature.
I know the story.
Mm-hmm.
Let me write down something.
Oh, man.
Karen is writing it down.
I'm rewriting
fast
it.
And furious, rewriting it, crossing it off. Hope we didn't cross off the right answer. Karen has written down Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Colin has written down Man of La Mancha.
Well, you my original answer was Frankenstein.
Yours is at least horror. No, okay. I
well,
like it.
It's not
yeah.
horror because Hollow Man is Kevin.
Tell me what Hollow Man is about.
Kevin Bacon.
Uh-huh, yes, Kevin
and
Bacon.
He turns
does what?
Invisible.
Uh-huh, and what classic literature do you think that that's based on?
That he turns invisible?
Yeah.
The Invisible Man?
Could it be The Invisible Man by H.G. Wells? Which is the correct answer. Yeah, sorry.
I didn't know that was classic.
So we've got Karen at 9, Colin at 7.
I had a chance.
Two left, yes.
It's not going to happen for Colin, I don't think.
I don't know.
You could tie it up and then we'll just never know. Here we go. A Kid in King Arthur's Court. A Kid in King Arthur's Court is based on what work of literature? A Kid in King Arthur's Court.
Okay. All right, hang on.
There's a lot. I know there's a lot going on in Colin's brain right now.
Yes.
This is very much the, obviously I would have put the poison in front of you.
Right.
You would never expect that, so I would have put the poison in front
That's
of me.
That's exactly what it was.
Yes. Colin says, I'm going to assume you wrote A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court
yes.
by none other than
Mark Twain.
Karen wrote The Excalibur.
I don't know.
It is A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court
what?
By Mark Twain. Yep.
I've never heard of that though. Is it that?
Same
is
basic
it,
premise. Okay.
Yeah, same basic premise, except for it's not a Connecticut Yankee. It's a kid. Karen has 9, Colin has 8. Last question. Ooh. You could still tie this up, although it is incredibly unlikely. But you know what? Stranger things have happened, and crazier answers have come out of butts. It is a 2006 film starring the dynamic on-screen duo of Hillary and Haley Duff. And it is called Material Girls. Material Girls. 2006 film. Hillary and Haley Duff.
Well, I watched the movie.
Yeah. And it is based on what work of classic literature?
Wait, do fairy tales count as classic literature? No.
I'm not going to answer that question one way or the other.
Oh, man. Wow.
All right. Answers up. Colin says Cinderella, and Karen says Sense and Sensibility, another Jane Austen novel. It is Sense and Sensibility.
And I assume one has sense and the other has sense.
I don't know if that's why it's called that, but you got there somehow. Congratulations.
Wow. All I remember about that movie is hearing about it 12 seconds ago for the first time. I remember Chris saying the name of it, and yeah. All right, well done, Karen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm impressed too.
Yep.
I'm impressed too.
You're all over your Jane Austen novel titles.
And most importantly, don't have to pay her royalties.
Oh, really? Is it public domain?
Yeah.
Is that why?
It's a big part of it. I mean, someone still has to write the screenplay.
Yeah. But it's, I see.
Yeah.
Everybody shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, box of oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course, you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
They've done weird things. Cat and Jethro, box of oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
All right, and we're coming to an end to our all quiz episode. And for the last quiz, I want to give you guys a gift from the Good Job Brain inbox.
Oh.
This gift is from Camille, and her title of her email is a message from a 13-year-old listener and a free quiz.
Yay.
Yeah, she already knows how to write bait headlines.
Yes.
Free quiz.
It's like, I better actually open this email.
Yeah. Camille says, hey, GJB host, my name is Camille. I am 13 and I'm from Jackson, Mississippi. I've been listening to Good Job Brain for 2 years and have gone through all the episodes and now know an extensive amount of trivia. I listen to you guys before I go to sleep, when I wake up, and all around in between. One of my favorite quizzes, Colin, you'd like to know, is Brad Pitt or lasers? She says, I made my own version of the quiz attached PDF and was wondering if you guys could play it in an upcoming episode.
She saved it as a PDF?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Actually, no, it's still a .doc attachment. But that's okay. She says, thanks so much for the laughs and learning, Camille. P.S. It may interest you to know that I was second place Scrabble champion in my school district last year.
All right.
Woo. And of course, Brad Pitt Lasers is a recurring quiz segment that we do where we have two very random things, but very close in invention year or debut or birth. So you have to guess which one came first, and they're very, very random. And Camille made her own random list.
Awesome.
With very, very close creation, debut dates. Here, let's do a lightning round buzz in with the creator of Brad Pitt Lasers, Colin on the buzzer.
All right.
Chris on the buzzer. Brad Pitt or lasers? Number one, debut of Batman or plastic wrap? Colin?
I'm gonna
talk it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be true. Very close. I mean, like a cellophane wrap early on, but I'm gonna say Batman.
I'll say Batman too.
Yeah, 30s.
Yes, Batman, you are correct. Debuted in 1939. Plastic wrap first sold in 1949 commercially.
Oh, wow.
The Broadway debut of Wicked, or okay. the first Spider-Man movie.
It was. That's Wicked.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No.
The first? No, I think it is Wicked.
Sorry.
The Tobey Maguire.
The Tobey Maguire Spider-Man
in case
film.
Of there are other versions of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's...
Wicked was 2004-ish, and then... Spider-Man movies were later in that decade.
Oh, I thought Wicked was earlier than that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought Wicked was maybe even late 90s on Broadway.
I don't think it's late 90s yeah? on Broadway. It's okay. early 2000s on Broadway.
Okay. I'm still going to say Wicked.
I think it's Wicked.
Yeah.
The answer is Spider-Man. Ah. Wicked debuted October 31st, 2003.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Spider-Man yeah. premiered May 3rd, 2002.
Oh.
Yeah, for some reason I thought Wicked was, yeah, earlier.
Yeah.
Which came first, Keanu Reeves or the song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds?
I've actually put Keanu Reeves in one of these quizzes before. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, well, that was on Sgt. Pepper's. That was 1967. Keanu Reeves.
I'll go with Keanu Reeves. I think he's deceptively old.
I agree, because I think that he's like 50, probably. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You are correct. It is Keanu Reeves, born in 1964, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, released in 1967.
Yeah. All right.
Which came first, The Little Mermaid or Taylor Swift?
Now, is The Little Mermaid the Disney film?
The Disney film.
Okay, Little Mermaid is 1989.
And she's 26?
Oh, man.
Right? What was the name of her album?
26?
What was it? 24, 25? What was
that's
the name?
That's Adele. 20,
Red?
Yeah.
That's Adele.
I'll,
you know what? I'll go with... Wait, Taylor Swift, was she born in the freaking 90s? Yeah, I think she might have been. I think that Taylor Swift might have actually been born in the 90s.
I think so, too. I'm going to say Little Mermaid. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You guys are correct.
Yeah.
It is The Little Mermaid, and this is so close. Little Mermaid premiered November 17th, 1989.
Yep.
Taylor Swift born the same year, December 13th.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so she was in the 80s.
A month.
Wow.
Tail end.
Just barely squeaked into the 80s. Camille, meanwhile, was born. She didn't have to even go through the Y2K bug.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not even a concern.
What a stress-free life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The premiere of Friends, the TV show, or Sonic the Hedgehog?
Premiere of Friends.
Okay. Well, Friends premiered
in 94, I believe.
Oh, then Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay. Well, that was a team effort.
Wow, you're right. Friends did premiere in 1994.
Let me try to nail Sonic the Hedgehog here. Super Mario World was end of 90 in Japan. I think Sonic was 90 in the US and Japan. So I'm gonna say Sonic was 90. Oh no, was it 1989? No, the Genesis came out in 1989, but Sonic the Hedgehog was packaged in it. I'm gonna go with Sonic the Hedgehog 1990.
91. Okay. Good job. But that was an insight to your brain that we're all very intimidated.
Yeah.
All right. Justin Timberlake or the first compact disc known as a CD?
CD is 1984.
I think it's earlier.
Really?
I mean, I think developed by like Philips. I think they had the technology like 81, 82. I mean, commercial released. Okay, let's say commercial released
commercial
84.
Release. I think the first.
All right, let's say
84.
Okay.
Yeah,
not the technology.
Justin Timberlake. I think Justin Timberlake is like my age.
He's got to be at least
maybe a little younger.
He's got to be at least mid-30s, right? Yeah.
I'm going to say Justin Timberlake is a child of the earlier 1980s than the initial release of the CD.
You are correct. Justin Timberlake, born in 1981, first commercial CD released in Japan, 1982.
That was okay.
Billy Joel's 52nd Street.
Yes, I do remember. I remember hearing that. Yeah, Billy, or having that in a quiz.
It has
possibly
popped up on this show.
Billy Joel's
52nd
Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not a plug, but Camille put it in here. BuzzFeed.
Gotta say it.
Or Squarespace.
BuzzFeed or Squarespace.
Which came first?
BuzzFeed
or Squarespace.
Man,
interesting.
When did I first become aware of either of them? I feel like BuzzFeed was, man, I mean, it couldn't have been any later than
I remember early BuzzFeed.
It couldn't have been
what it looked like.
Like the latest it could have been was like 2008. So maybe BuzzFeed, let's say 2006, 2007.
I don't know.
Hmm.
But I think Squarespace is just more recent.
Yeah, I'll say BuzzFeed.
Squarespace came first, 2004. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, wow. BuzzFeed created in 2006.
Okay.
Squarespace created 2004, and she, at the end of her document, says, "I apologize sincerely if I have any mistakes."
Oh, we'll send any actuallys directly to you, Camille. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Any actuallys can be forwarded directly.
Yeah.
We'll just send them right to her.
COD.
Thanks, Camille.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that is
it makes
our...
makes it so much easier for us.
What?
We don't have to do any work prepping for the show. The quizzes are just there.
If we could get someone to come in and answer the questions for us, we could just,
we could take the day off.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And that's our All Quiz Bonanza episode. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you guys had fun answering all of our weird quiz questions. And you can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.